And my guest today is Deborah Trisson. Hello, Deborah.
Hello, Kath. How are you this morning?
Very well. Great to have you along.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
You've brought along a very rich-looking catalogue from the show that you're in at the moment at Adelaide's Central Gallery at 45 Osmond Terrace, The Feeling of Light, in which you yourself, along with Morgan Allender, Melanie Brown and Kvetta Deans, are unashamedly painting up a storm.
Yes, definitely.
Painting and not apologising for it.
No, definitely not.
And I know when I looked you up, as one does, I found a reference to a show that I think Margot Osborne curated that you were in a while ago, The Feeling of the Real, is that right?
Or yes, yes.
Yeah, again, gathering painters together, and a lot of you do come out of Central School with very, very good skills.
Yes, and I must admit, it is a school that does promote, is very much skill-based, and it's all about the skill. And then you can, once you've got the skill, then you go along with all the ideas and the conceptual ideas that come about. So
yeah,
we're not just traditionally painters anymore. There's lots of different, you know, I think Adelaide Central School of Art was known for, in the past, a very much realist sort of school, but it's actually churning out a lot of artists now that are very diverse in their practice, which is lovely to see.
It is. Not that I have anything against realist painting. It can be fantastic. It can be sumptuous. It can be indulgent. It can reveal such amazing things about the world.
Yeah.
And has painting always been your passion?
Yes. I came to it very late in life. I was in a job that I didn't like, and there's a lot of things, you know, going through a midlife crisis at 35 and then finally plucking up the courage to do something about it. And, it felt like coming home. It was a very emotional, you know, I remember we went over across the hotel across from the school, and there was a sculptor and a photographer and a couple of painters, and we're all just sort of sitting around and chatting, and I thought, oh, this is what it feels like to actually feel normal. It was quite an interesting...
These are my people.
These are my peoples, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I became quite emotional because I'd always felt like, you know, if you started to talk about art, people would just glaze over and tune out, which is...
Well, that obviously set something free in you, because your works are... in your face, or
they
have
are
certainly
very
been.
Much in your face. Yes,
I'm looking back at 2005 series you did that reminds me of, well, nobody so much as Lucian Freud, I suppose, and I guess people have said that to you before, maybe. Although you're slightly more gentle.
Yes,
than
I'm
Lucian
very.
Freud.
Yes, I'm very gentle. I'd sort of someone actually in the beginning. I used to actually get people to photograph, like females to photograph me, because I didn't feel very comfortable with my body. Mm-hmm. And as you can see, I'm quite a large woman and
proud.
Well, you know, it's the love-hate. I mean, back then it was about the love-hate relationship I had with my body, and I was sort of wanting people to feel the pain that I was feeling, and I was trying to change the world, and that's a very, you know, I can't change the world. I can change myself, and how I sort of posit myself, like how I view myself through how other people view me, and so it's been a steep learning curve.
But there's a strong confidence in those paintings, even back then in 2005. Mm. They are paintings of you naked, some of them up close, some of them from a distance, and they seem to me to have a strong voice.
Yes,
to them.
Yes. It's it was very powerful. One of the things that I remember, I was in the studio painting when I had a studio at school, and I had this young woman come in that was, you know, probably early 30s, and she looked like she had it all. You know, she was slim and pretty, and you could tell that she had money, which sounds really, you know, And it was all the things that I thought that I wasn't. And she sort of walked into the studio and she started crying because of the, you know, she said, you know, you're painted the way I feel. And that was a really profound moment for me in terms of thinking, well, you know, just because you look that perception of what other people think of you doesn't necessarily mean that that's actually what's going on. And when she sort of actually started delving into her, you know, what was actually happening for her, you know, she had a lot of stuff going on and it was, you know, so it's really interesting. And the more I paint, the more I realise, you know, like you scratch the surface of someone and everyone's got stuff going on. You know, it's really powerful. And I think it's actually made me a much stronger person for, you know, because people sort of say to me, oh, you know, how can you paint nude paintings of yourself, which was, you know, quite confronting. And the first time that naked, which I think is that image that you've got there, was shown, you know, I had this woman come up to me that was sort of my age and also, you know, she wasn't, you know, like normal, so-called normal. And she was also really emotional. She said, oh, you know, Kyle, I want someone to paint me the way you've painted yourself, the way you make me feel, mate. I want to feel like that. I want to feel good about myself. And, I mean, there's been lots of controversy about that. You know,
I'm sure.
Yes. You know, talking about things that it's really interesting. The things that I thought I was painting about wasn't the, you know, like in retrospect, not that at all, you know.
I think an artist often has that experience that you get something out there and you think, well, that's that, that's dealt with such and such in my psyche. And then other people receive it and they see something quite different.
Yes.
It can be a shock, can't it?
It can. It can. I actually was quite affronted at first. But, you know, one of the things that I used to say in my spiel was, you know, where in the world of stereotypes is Deborah Troussaint fit? You know, am I trying to break out of it or fit into it? And it's really... I've just lost my train of thought there. It would. People ask me how I could actually paint myself, and I actually found it even though I was painting myself, I was actually painting other people as well.
Mm.
And that painting then, it wasn't me, even though it was a picture of, or a painting of me, it wasn't actually me. It was the feelings that I was sort of feeling and it was quite interesting. In when I was actually studying, I was still doing the naked pictures of myself and I'd painted myself in a very confronting way. And I went to, when we had a critique and there was, you know, 40 or 50 people coming in, and they were all walking in and I was sort of walking in behind them and they were all looking at the work and I started crying, and I couldn't stop crying, and it was really interesting because I'd sort of written all of this stuff, and everyone came up to me afterwards and said, oh, you know, like, you know, you, and I'd realised I actually had gone too far, like, because I wanted people to see the vulnerable side of me. You know, it's a real dichotomy for me because I hate feeling like I'm vulnerable, but that is part of me. I think it's part of everyone, you know, feeling vulnerable at different stages. And
very interesting. I'm sure you've learnt quite a bit since 2005.
Yeah.
It's nearly 10:45 on Arts Breakfast, but I've left this half hour so that Deborah Troussaint and I can chat at some length about her painting. We began by talking about her early work in particular, her naked paintings of herself from 2005. We're going to move along in just a minute to talk about the show that she's in now and the journey that she's made since then.
This week on Public Domain.
There's been a lot of engagement with Indigenous people around research, very little of it so far as I can see to their benefit.
Nothing About Us Without Us, Meeting the Ethical Challenges of Research at the Margins, with Associate Professor Susan Strager.
We're tired of researchers coming in and documenting all that is wrong with our communities. How about some research on what's right with us?
Public Domain, every Sunday from 10 a.m. on Orbit.
Jazz is like the weather. It can be hot. It can be cool. Whatever your preference, it can be heard here Monday through Fridays on Radio Adelaide 101.5, where the frequency is modulated.
Radio Adelaide.
On digital radio.
Online.
And 101.5 FM.
That's where you are right now, and the time is 10:45. Deborah Trusson, a long journey for you since 2005, and indeed since the age of 35 to where you are now.
Yes.
In this beautiful, beautiful exhibition, group exhibition, The Feeling of Light at Adelaide Central Gallery, which is the gallery for Adelaide Central School of Art, of which you are a product.
Yes.
And so are these other people, Melanie Brown, Gvetta Deans, and Morgan Allender, and they are they're all in the realist mode, and they're all very comfortable with their mediums.
Yes.
With the skills, the craft of painting, and people like Anna Platten make sure that that happens.
Yes, absolutely.
Your particular contribution, though, this time, looks a little bit more kind of myth-based, perhaps, and in fact the painting, or is it a part of a painting?
That's a part of the painting there. That's Flight of the Dragonflies. Yes, that's it's really interesting. Normally when I work, I have everything worked out before I start painting, so that in a way I actually know what my painting is going to look like, because I am so photorealist. And this last body of work, you know, I went to the Parallel Collisions and listened to a talk by Philip Brophy, and he was talking about...
That was the biennial this
that's
year.
That's the biennial this year, yeah, and he was talking about the what was happening with the gender, especially nude gender, in the last 200 years. And so it really made me reevaluate why I paint what I paint. And I do love... as you can tell from my previous work, you know, I'm very much into the... I love the psychological. I like putting things upside down, you know, and it's really interesting watching people, you know, turn their head upside down to actually look at the painting, because it is upside down. And, but this time I decided that I wanted a different approach. You know, I was... is much more... I had an idea. I sort of cogitated really for quite a few months before I came up with some ideas of the actual female form.
Mm.
And so I went and took the photos, and then I let the painting talk to me, and I was looking at, you know, and I love colour. I love painting beautiful things. And, of course, beautiful is a very subjective word in many, many ways.
Your beautiful is perhaps the 19th century beautiful.
It is, yes. And I have to say, Anna Platten was my painting lecturer, and I do absolutely adore her work. Mm. And William Adolphe Bouguereau as well was probably one of my favourite artists. And of course, he's much maligned for his sentimentality, and
I love him too.
Yes, there's something more real than real.
Yes,
and that's what I really love about that you can capture. And
so, in Flight of the Dragonflies, what's happening? All we can see is a female, part of a female abdomen, and turned thigh and calf, and then
yep.
There's a ring and a dragonfly.
That's actually the dragonfly is coming in to land on an urn.
Oh, an urn. Oh, I see now. Yes.
Yes. And the female has actually grabbed hold of one of her legs, and she's actually looking with her hand and actually looking at her leg. And I mean, that went through many, many changes. I had lots of different techniques underneath, and at one stage it actually had three dragonflies, and now the dragonflies, apart from that one, are all gone.
Well, that's interesting. Something about the colour and the richness and the reference points of that painting, or the bit of it that we can see in the catalogue, made me think of the painting in the art gallery of Circe holding up her water picture. Very, very famous icon in the art gallery.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yes, and I love all of that sort of stuff. And at the opening, the chap that at the VIP opening, he sort of was calling my work sentimental and romantic and
sensuous, certainly.
It is very sensuous, and it's really interesting because when I was painting them, Quetta came to the studio and she said, "Oh, okay, Deb, what are the paintings about?" And I said, "Oh, it's about, you know, mythology, and it's about this and it's about that." And she said, and she looked at the paintings, she said, "No, they're not." I said, "What do you mean?" She said, "You've been skirting around this," because Quetta and I actually went through at the same time and through school. And, you know, she said, "You know, you need to be honest, and it's about your sexuality." And that was one of the things that I didn't really want to talk about, because I don't, you know, I've just turned 55 a few days ago, and I certainly don't feel like a sexual being. And I guess this is sort of like a celebration of female sexuality and that ideal longing. You know what I mean? I sort of long for things that I don't have at the moment, and which is all sounds very, you know, people have said, "Oh, Deb, it's, you know, bordering on kitsch." And I sort of think, well, you know, what's wrong with kitsch, you know? What's wrong with acknowledging sentimental emotions? I sort of think there's so many things out in the world that aren't nice to look at, or nice things that are happening. Sometimes it's a bit of an escape from reality.
And obviously, your peers wouldn't have selected you to be in such august company as the people who are with you in this show if they didn't think that your work had very, very strong qualities. Bridget Noone, for instance.
Yes, yes, yes. She, when she came to the studio to have a look, you know, she said, in the beginning, some of the pieces that didn't end up in the show, you know, there was a lot of very kitsch things and, you know, bordering on, you know, she said, "Well, there's two ways you can go. You can either go extra kitsch or tone it down a bit." So I ended up toning it down, but I don't know, I still love kitsch. as derided as what it is in today's society.
I'm just going to read a little bit of a quote from Karen Mama Anderson that Bridget puts in her words about this show. "Painting is a paradox, apparently easy and accessible, easily accessible, but under the surface is a chamber of echoes where every painterly decision, every brushstroke bounces and reflects millions of other brushstrokes, colour choices, spatialities and figures in the thousands of years of painting." Are you aware of that when you pick up your brush?
You're sometimes.
You're in a continuum, aren't you?
Yes, you are. You are. And you certainly can't paint in a void. So, yes, I do think about the artists that have come before and the artists that will come after. Yeah, and hopefully I'll be in the canon there somewhere.
You will, Deborah.
That would be very nice, wouldn't it?